You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
Trump came to the Detroit Economic Club and stood there in front of the Ford Motor executives and said, if you close these factories as you're planning to do in Detroit,
I'm sorry, but he looks like my grandmother if she said, you know what, after all these years I've decided to transition and be a man. Or the I don't know what it is. Listen, he is who he is. He is who he is. Michael Moore is who he is. But, you know, it's just bothering me the way that he's turning out physically. God knows what's going to happen to me. I'm probably going to look like a turtle or a turnip. I have no fucking clue. But it's...
You'll look great for the rest of your life.
Hey, thanks, man.
This guy looks like the grandmother, the younger version of the grandmother from the Goonies.
Oh, my God. That's right. It's wet, isn't it? Drink it! You're the one they call Mouth.
Which, crazy enough, reminds me of my nanny, that lady, because that's how that my grandmother was kind of like that.
Yeah?
She wasn't mean like that, but...
Yeah. Well, let's go back in.
I'm going to put a 35% tariff on those cars when you send them back, and nobody's going to buy them. It was an amazing thing to see. No politician, Republican or Democrat, had ever said anything like that to these executives. And it was music to the ears of people in Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, the Brexit states. You live here in Ohio, you know what I'm talking about. Whether Trump means it or not is kind of irrelevant because he's saying the things to people who are hurting. And it's why every beaten down, nameless, forgotten working stiff who used to be part of what was called the middle class loves Trump. He is the human Molotov cocktail that they've been waiting for.
What do we say? Wrecking ball.
The human hand grenade that they can legally throw into the system that stole their lives from them. And on November 8th, Election Day, although they lost their jobs, although they've been foreclosed on by the bank, next came the divorce and now the wife and kids are gone. The car's been repoed. They haven't had a real vacation in years. They're stuck with the shitty Obamacare bronze plan where you can't even get a fucking Percocet. They've essentially lost everything they had except one thing. The one thing that doesn't cost them a cent and is guaranteed to them by the American Constitution, the right to vote. They might be penniless, they might be homeless, they might be fucked over and fucked up. It doesn't matter because it's equalized on that day. A millionaire has the same number of votes as the person without a job, one. And there's more of the former middle class than there are in the millionaire class. So on November 8th, the dispossessed will walk into the voting booth, be handed a ballot, close the curtain and take that lever or felt pen or touchscreen and put a big fucking X in the box by the name of the man who has threatened to upend and overturn the very system that has ruined their lives. Donald J. Trump. They see that the elites who ruined their lives hate Trump. Corporate America hates Trump. Wall Street hates Trump. The career politicians hate Trump. The media hates Trump after they loved him and created him and now hate him. Thank you, media. The enemy of my enemy is who I'm voting for on November 8th. Yes, on November 8th, you, Joe Blow, Steve Blow, Bob Blow, Billy Bob Blow, all the Blows get to go and blow up the whole goddamn system because it's your right.
He's never gotten me so pumped up before.
The biggest fuck you ever recorded in human history. And it will feel good.
Okay, so he goes and slobbers all over himself with that part in that movie that he just made, Trump something, whatever what was it called, Matt?
I don't know.
Trumpland?
Trumplandia.
Trumplandia?
Yeah. By Michael Moore.
Well, he goes and does that. And he goes, but then he also reaffirms, I don't know where the hell it happened, but he said, no, he is very, very happy and excited to be voting for Hillary Clinton, he says.
Because he's a piece of shit.
But how do you put that together? How do you make yourself the greatest point as to what's really happening? And then deny that Hillary Clinton is not one of the greatest faces of that same machine you just described as having gobbled up middle America, having gobbled up manufacturing and the jobs that people had really, really decent lives living. How do you make that? It was such a succinct point in 3.5 minutes. I don't understand where there's even room for a 180, not even as like a surprise twist at the end. You described it perfectly. That this thing needs a wrecking ball. So then why the hell are you bringing in, the whatchamacallits, the handymen to patch up the stucco? Hillary Clinton is just a bad stucco job. That's all she is. There's nothing going on there. Donald Trump, no matter how good, bad, or worse his ideas are, oh my God, man, that is a major disruptive force. Major disruptive force going into Washington. That right there buys us at least some time. Okay. We're at least going to be combating the political correctness every goddamn day of his presidency, and that is a good thing. Because anybody can tell you, or anybody who knows anything will tell you, looking at this country right now, looking at the state of the society, and knowing how that goes hand in hand, okay, the health of your society, the mental health of your society, what they're starting to believe, what they're being taught in school, the narratives that are pushed out there that are furthered by the media and all that, take a look at that. It's all hand in hand with how the country performs overall and how safe and secure and free the people are. Okay? That goes hand in hand. So if the first thing we do is disrupt this terrible system and attack the political correctness and allowing people to come out of this their shells again, that's something I'd like. It's something I like. So let's see who's in the chat room. Rumble and Roar. Gadget Doc. Nikki. Brad. Who else is in there? Everybody else, I wish I can call you out, but I can. There's no way YouTube allows you to see anything like that. So I guess it's one more reason to get to patreon.com/quitefrankly and drop a couple of dollars into the monthly bucket. And I will be shouting you out and loving you down all night. Regardless of whether or not you're in the chat room. So there you go. Holy shit. God damn, Mike, this thing's like fighting me over here. Mike went and tightened up this boom. Because you remember sometimes when I go live at night, I go and I pull the microphone over and all of a sudden it goes sliding past my face because the boom is not stopping. He went and tightened it, and now I've got to just getting a core workout. So there is that. So what do you guys think about what Michael Moore just said?
That's why Trump's going to win.
Yeah.
Because I kind of felt like when the first time Obama won, it kind of felt like for a while that everyone was against him too. At least that's what I kind of remember.
I don't know. Obama was the first presidency that was really won through social media. 2008, the 2008 election was really... That was the first time you saw social media take a hand in it. Cutting edge, it was the first time. We never looked back since then. The internet is purely political now. It's purely political. Rumble and Roar says, got to appreciate the amount of emojis offered by YouTube, at least. Here, have a happy turd. Absolutely. The chat definitely looks like it's a lot more fun, but, you know. Mike Delabate asks, wasn't Trump Land against Trump? I never got to see it. No, yeah, I think resoundingly it's against Trump, but, you know.
Michael Moore's a fucking idiot.
Gadget Doc, what's up, man?
Just very quickly, I just sent you something that's going to dovetail beautifully on your point about social media.
Okay.
It's about how Google and Facebook can actually sway an election. It's in the war room. I highlighted it for you so you don't have to read the whole darn thing to get to the juicy parts.
Did you just did you send it to me on Twitter?
No, I sent it to you in Facebook. Check the war room. It should be voting fraud as a Word doc.
Okay. All right, hold on. I'm in, and you sent it to me on Facebook. There you go. Project Censored, you said?
Yep. Go up. That's the source. Okay. You should see the doc.
Wait, where did
I can send it to you real quick.
I'm looking at the projectcensored.org right now, but I'm where's your highlights?
Yeah, no.
Oh, that's the doc. Okay, I see it. Yeah. All right, so everything's in here?
Yeah. And it's easy for you to go through. I'm sending it again. That way you have it. All right. I'm out of here.
All right, man.
Everybody Skype's on.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much.
Interactive.
My man. All right, dude. I'll talk to you in a bit. I see the highlighting. This is good. Wow. Hey, guys. This is a great way of sending me shit. Send me articles and highlight things that you think are of – this is great what Gadget Doc did. Look at this. Oh, God damn it. Oh, God, fucking forget about this now. I'm grabbing things that aren't. All right, so let me see here. Search engine algorithms and electronic voting machines could swing 2016 election. This is from October 4th. From the search engine algorithms to electronic voting machines, here's the highlighted part. Technology provides opportunities for manipulation of voters and their votes in ways that could profoundly affect the results of the 2016 election. In the U.S., the 2012 presidential election was won by a margin of just 3.9%, and historically half of the U.S. presidential elections have been won by margins under 7.6. These narrow but consequential victory margins underscore the importance of understanding how secret proprietary technologies, whether they are newly developing or increasingly outdated, potentially swing election results. On to the next highlighted part. Mark Frary, in Index on Censorship, describes the latest research by Robert Epstein and Ronald D. Robertson of the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology on what they call the search engine manipulation effect. Their research focuses on the powerful
prayed by secret algorithms, including Google's PageRank and Facebook's EdgeRank,
that determine the contents of our internet search results and social media news feeds. There you go. Epstein and Robertson showed the biased search engine rankings, quote, could shift the voting preferences of undecided voters by 20% or more. If effect could be greater than 20% in some demographic groups, and perhaps most significantly, this search ranking bias could, quote, be masked so that people show no awareness of the manipulation. So because we're such proficient headline junkies that nobody actually reads, nobody tries to comprehend, reading comprehension is gone. Forget about it. I think some people would probably have a hard time following the storyline in some of the old golden books, okay? You know, like the I'm talking like that bad. No reading comprehension. So let's say they were reading this editorialized trash all over the place. Because there's no objective journalism. Tim Pool is a great example of where you have to go to get objective journalism, you know? And and if you're not reading, let alone you're not comprehending what you're reading, you can't have anything written to you in anything more than a third grade level of reading, then you have to go and just start resorting to headlines. Now, you start just taking those headlines as news. You know what your character trope is by what you've been taught in school, whether you are a liberal person or a conservative person, and what's good and what's bad, your own moral code, all that shit that has been instilled into you. You couple that up with just this on the go, I have no time for anything, I haven't read a book in years type of way of digesting headlines and news, and taking that for, you know, the breadth of the argument or details or anything like that. Sacrificing all of the context behind stories, headlines, quotes, all that shit. Context is not in mind here. And when you're just taking that shit, skimming that shit off the surface, just headlines, and you go and you combine that with your bias. Holy shit. So I totally can see a 20% swing and how you can be manipulated, but it just being done subtly. Subtly. You know, I don't know how many times I do the same thing too, where, and this is for real, where somebody will come up to me, hey, did you hear about so-and-so, what happened? And I have no clue what the details are, what they're about, but I just remember flashes of headlines. And I go, no, but I saw something about it. I saw a headline of something about it. It's something happened. Just because the headlines, if you look at them, are like miniature tweets. Okay, there's no headlines. There's no Titanic sank, you know? It's like miniature tweets, all these headlines. They give you an inference of what the subject matter is, and then some kind of snarky, veiled, dog whistle type of comment that you can kind of piece it all together because they're playing to certain audiences. They're preaching to choirs. This is, you know, it's all those dog whistle moments. And that's what happens when you're just browsing. You're not even looking for news. You just see headlines on the side. You know, it's always influenced. So 20% swing is huge. In an article for Politico, Epstein wrote that search engine manipulation effect turns out to be one of the largest behavioral effects ever discovered. We believe SEME, search engine manipulation effect, is a serious threat to the democratic system of government. You know, we had said this on the show like months ago, but you know, it's undoubtedly that voter fraud is going to only increase. the more we digitize the way that we cast our votes. That should actually be still counted in the most primitive of ways. Primitive, hands-on of ways. Absolutely. Can that still be screwed with? Absolutely. But get your books out, take the time, do it the old-fashioned way. Okay? Because, I mean, for Christ's sake. But putting that all aside, that the risk is going to increase as technology gets better for voter fraud, you don't need, technically, you don't need to stuff ballots to rig elections. When you can control minds and you have the largest consortium of media out there in your back pocket taking orders from you, going to Democrat Party or believe me, and after the election you're going to see shit on Republicans too. We talked about this just in the beginning of the week though. Don't take the Democrat Hillary Clinton exposing parade right now as a sign that Julian Assange really gives a shit about anybody or anything. Okay, this is just the scariest thing in the world right now, could have that happen for anybody who wants to live in a place where you can speak your mind, print what you think, print whatever. Keep your sources private, have constitutional rights, telling you these people will take it from you. So that being said, no doubt in my mind it's going to be tampered with. But you just, I mean, you don't have to if you can manipulate minds. And here is a great example of it. Because when I originally had that conversation with you guys, I was really only thinking in my head when I was having that conversation, the television. I really didn't take into account just how effective that psychological warfare is on people through the constant bombardment on social media. I didn't think it would be that huge. It's way bigger. So I think people laugh at what's going on television. It's just a clown act. You know what I mean? It's just clowns. It's fucking gross. In a study involving 2,000, last thing we do here, we can actually bleed over into the 8 o'clock hour. Tim Pool's not going live. He actually was dealing with some technological issues today. So he is just taking care of things on his end, and hopefully we'll have him back on the air on Wednesday night, but that'll be on his channel, of course. So if you are here for the first time, welcome. We're going to be keeping the Skype on, but I want to get through this article because I have a couple of things I have to get to. In a study involving 2,000 eligible undecided voters in Indiana's 2004 Lok Sabha election, they found that, quote, search engine rankings could boost the proportion of people favoring any candidate by more than 20%. More than 60% in some demographic groups. Can you believe that?
People are easily influenced.
Yo, the only way we are ever free again, we're looking at Fight Club moment now. We're looking at a Fight Club credit card company moment. It's the only way. Unless there is an enlightenment again. Unless you are able to use that technology to try to break people out of that spell and think for themselves again. If that's even possible, I don't know. But if you can influence up to 60% of a demographic and over 20% of the overall, holy shit, man. God damn, can you imagine being able to pull out being able to create a 25% swing in your favor? 25% swing. Doing that right there alone, you can win primaries, unless, here's the thing. If we're talking about doom here, if we need something to be happy about, what are we seeing right now with with Trump and what's going on the ground. That it's a ground movement. There's that human spirit part of all of this that is still needs to be respected. There is that human spirit. You gotta feel some kind of faith in that somewhere. What do you think, Matt?
Do I feel human spirit?
Do you think that the human spirit will find itself emerging on a morning?
We already did. We already did find ourselves.
A morning mist settling over the horizon, steaming up from the rolling hills, tumbling down green plains. So good. It's a good occasion to play some Mendelssohn here. I just want to be coasting over the sea like Peter Pan right now, you know? Just be able to... right over the top. Star Wars Rogue One is going to be great.
I'm not going to say it, but I heard inside sources told me the movie's really not going to be that good.
What?
Yep.
What are you talking about? You have inside sources to Disney?
No, to the movie.
Disney.
Disney.
Yeah, Disney.
No.
That who controls the production? Those are the only people who know what happens in this film. Trust me. Who I know knows.
I know one of the editors, bro.
You know one of the editors at Disney that's working on this film? Or being contracted by Disney?
It's not going to be that good.
Okay. Well, I'll probably be in the minority then on that one. Pretty sure. Oh, yeah, Gadget Doc, thank you for putting that link in the chat room. Because I wanted people to really read that for themselves. There's so much more in that link. Oh, yeah, Matt, that's the other thing Gadget Doc also brings up. You should be crying right now, not laughing, because you lost 2 G's last night. You owe me $2,000. You said $2,000, the Cubs sweep the World Series. They lost 6-0.
I don't remember saying that.
Well, thank God it was all broadcast on TV.
Pretty sure I said the Indians were going to sweep.
Well, thank God we have evidence.
I mean, I know baseball, bro. I know. It's going to win.
Yeah.
No, see? Yeah, it'll be the Indians in 4 games.
Man, so check out that. I actually have to read through that a little bit more later. So we did the opening with Michael Moore. Here's one thing I wanted to talk about last night. And, you know, good to bring up because, you know, we all saw Berkeley College, the protesters demanding segregation for safe spaces and black only, people of color only. They were forcing white students to cross a creek in the woods to be able to go to class because they were blocking the entrance for white students. You got to hear some of the stuff that's being said on the ground by these people who are every last one. And it's not even like it's a wall of black people. It's just these gross little beta white kids and I guess Spanish kids and just this collection of purple haired monsters. And I mean, it's just weird. It's not like you have a wall of black people out there saying we want segregation. Let's very firstly and foremost say that these are minorities of people, minorities of populations, loud squeaky wheels who are talking dangerous shit and don't know what they're asking for. And I know they do not speak for level-headed people around the world, around the country. I guess the world. This is a pandemic, this liberal sickness that we're going through. It really is a pandemic.
It's a plague.
But, you know...
Absolutely.
So I don't by any means think that they speak for black people or Spanish people, because God forbid if they did. That's all I'll say. God forbid if they did. That's terrible. That'd be a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. But in either case, they're telling white kids, go around. These are kids that are probably, you know, going to be able to, you know, I mean, who knows? to think that most of them probably don't even deserve to be on the campus. All these kids. I don't care what color they are. These are kids that do not deserve to go to college. They're not ready for college. They don't understand what they're supposed to be there for. And to be honest, many of them probably don't have the smarts to be in college. And no, it's not for everybody. I know you've made it for everybody, but that's why college is useless now, and there are no jobs waiting for you. And that's why you're in school until you're 36, getting a new degree, so you can get a $5,000 raise somewhere. You're chasing a fucking pink elephant here. You created it. Want to know why you can't get a job? Because you're not supposed to be in college. That's why. It's not a bad thing. To think you're going to college to rabble rouse. You think that you go to college to be an activist, and then you wonder why you can't get a job? Well, because college was supposed to be your 4 years preparing to go into the real world. But you were fighting ghosts, and you were fighting imaginary enemies, and you were questioning whether or not you were a girl or a boy, or you were... I mean, what the fuck do you think college is? Holy Christ. What the fuck are we seeing? Because this thing is 5 minutes long, so you can bounce around, you can hear all types of terrible diner talk. Like, you want to talk about eavesdropping? Bouncing around this video is like listening in on multiple crazy booths at diners and what the crazy people at the booths are talking about. There's this one kid that's telling – this one black kid that's telling this white kid, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's nothing – don't take it personally. It's whiteness. You don't understand. It's not about you. It's whiteness. I'm – You're in college? This is what the American college student is? And that's another thing. You have to catch yourself from saying that to yourself. I catch myself too. I know this can't be the majority of the college students out there. If so, we're screwed. If so, we're screwed. So, you know, I don't even want to look at that. You guys can check it out yourselves. I can't stand looking at that shit. So check it out yourself. But it goes into something else here. It goes into something I wanted to talk about yesterday, which stemmed from a post. Chopin. Comment us down. There's a post I saw on Tumblr that I saw. Of course. Jesus Christ. Redundant much, Frank? I can't wait until white people are not on top anymore, says Queen IC. Okay, because of course she's a queen. Everybody's a queen. People say things like slay. That's they put them together. They say queen, slay, yas. Whatever the hell that is, that's just what it is. It's everybody, that's fun. We speak in grunts and groans. It's like Quest for Fire again. We're fucking unbelievable. Grunts and groans. Wonder why people are confused. They don't know how to articulate what they're feeling. They don't know how to understand. They don't understand nuance because they only have 50 fucking words in their vocabulary. You understand? That's why reading and articulation and learning and thinking and conversation is very important to the development of a society as a whole, not just to the advantage of the individual so they can properly describe to the doctor where the pain is. You know, I mean, there's very practical reasons for being articulate. So Queen IC says, I can't wait until white people are not on top anymore. And then, it goes on. The back and forth was pretty good. She was completely defeated in the the little spat. Of course, she wouldn't know that she was defeated. She doesn't care about that. These are mentally ill people. But here's the thing for me. When I see stuff like this, and I hope I, maybe you guys think the same way. If you do, call in, okay? So the Skype is on. Skype is Zen Live TV. So call in after I finish this thought, because I want to know what you guys think about this. I was actually hoping Gypsy was here for this talk. Here's what I said verbatim, just to save time. You know, the saddest part is that people like the original poster, Queen IC, don't even really want anything for themselves or advancement in their own lives. That's what it really seems to me. If they did, they wouldn't feel comfortable waiting around for an entire race to fall in order to make something of themselves or chase a lifelong dream, doing something, just to do something. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if most secretly hope this takeover, this fall of white people, never actually happens, because then they'll have no more excuses or crutches left. They've learned pretty much to stay on the sidelines in life and root for something in which they don't even have any stake in. Because here's one thing I always ask, what do they think is going to happen? When white people are no longer on top, are they going to be given some kind of directorial position, made a commander in some militia? Like, what do they really think is going to happen? You know, are they going to get some special acknowledgement or a medal for wasting time parroting people who actually are getting paid for their community disorganizing efforts? You know, there's not enough money to go around in that business. I hope you guys know that. Community organizing, like the way that our president likes to do, and like the way that people like Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Louis Farrakhan, all these people that have, and we're just talking about the black community right now, because obviously I'm going to wrap this up with a statement about racial supremacists on the whole. But you have... It's really a very, very small opportunity for you to create some kind of a social justice career. You do understand that if everybody in the community that you want to be able to lead into prosperity, if everybody was doing well for themselves, they wouldn't need you. So in the very basis of social justice warring, you need to be able to know that, A, there is an insurmountable problem that is affecting people that I represent. And B, if I actually did help these people and they were better off, they wouldn't want me. So whoever rises to power ultimately needs to keep people feeling a need for a leader. Because nobody's really looking for freedom, because freedom is right there. Freedom is a choice, especially in this country. If everybody understood what really goes into living freely, independently, independence. That's just a choice away. These people don't want people doing that. They don't want people turning around. So it's all bullshit. So this person over here just wants to see white people fall, because they've been taught white people are the reason why they haven't had all of the bling that they've wanted in their lives. All the good things to happen, all the things that they wanted to try, all the jobs they never had, the ideas they never had, the inventions they never tried, you know, the small businesses they never tried to start up. Okay, so they've been given this through, you know, the dissemination of information from the very top now. 8 years of it in the White House, dog whistle action, not condemning certain behavior, leaving the door open for rationalization for the type of disruption we've seen in the streets, on the college campuses and elsewhere. I mean, it's coming down from the top. So you have that going on. I mean, it's not a liberty movement. It's not an equality movement. There's no equality movements left on the planet. (Clears throat) So the final thing I said is, if there was something that people like Queen IC, supremacists of all races and all kinds, thought that they would benefit directly from, what good is it if they're still stupid? That's the real question. What good is it for any of those kids blocking anybody of a certain color from going to class? You know, they're in debt too, but they're actually trying to go to class. You've been given, I would have to imagine that more than 50% of all the kids wasting their time out there is on some kind of government assistance program, some kind of a scholarship, affirmative action, a combination of all of them together and more. And they don't give a shit. They don't give a shit. They don't give a shit. They're going to be crying for special privileges for the rest of their lives. Only thing is that the only way that they get those privileges now is because people they don't like have jobs and work hard. Once those people get too old, retire, die, and all that, and it's up to you, oh boy. Oh boy, are you going to wash the dye out of your hair real quick? You're going to wash the purple dye out of your hair real quick, and you'll go to chopping wood real quick. Anything to make a buck to stay alive. Promise you that. Nobody's going to come to save you. Nobody's going to come to save you. Definitely, they're not important. And in that bright future that President Obama and the rest of the idiots around the world that are bringing in refugees and immigrants through open door, open border policies for purely political reasons, for not humanitarian reasons. It's masked in humanitarianism. You know, all the nice things they say about how the future is going to be bright with all the talent that's coming over. Right. Yeah, there's lots of talent coming over the border right now, unchecked. Oh, there's diamonds in the rough. We know. We know about the undocumented valedictorians around the country. We understand. We saw the feel-good heart-tug stories in the news. We understand. But just don't take some instances of things going right as evidence that things are going right. Jenny Lee, you know what I'm talking about. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you know the type of dyed hair people that I'm talking about. Because Jenny Lee has brilliant, fabulously done, fluorescent pink hair. Okay? Okay, Brian, okay, great. See, now Gadgetzilla goes, hey, well, I know an entrepreneur with pink hair. See? They're out there. But they're also working. You're talking about people who work and who are entrepreneurs. That's fine. We're talking about the idiots that are blocking pathways on college campuses. You remember when somebody saw a shit swastika written on a door somewhere in like Mizzou, and they said it was some kind of a racial attack? It's like, wait, what? A swastika?
I heard about that.
Oh yeah, Mizzou was fun. When that whole thing started, that was real fun. That's when you had that crazy ass, the crazy eyed, you know, frayed end haired, you know, ginger woman asking for some muscle, more muscle to get kids kicked out of the safe spaces with cameras. When we got to see the inside, oh my God, we have seen this year so much of how the sausage is made. We're seeing people turning out sausage all over the place. Good, good, girthy slabs of sausage. Girthy tubes. We've got girthy tubes of sausage being pumped out. It's almost like Play-Doh. You know, you could put the Play-Doh into the hole and you could see it, and it kind of looks like it's taking a shit on the other end. That's what the colleges are. They are just, my God. So it's 7:44. You know what? Let's go on a really quick break. And when we come back, let's change away from this. Let's do something nice. Oh, no. What about these people? No, there's one more thing I have to talk about tonight. It's got to be serious tonight. And then that's Wednesday. Tomorrow, I promise we're going to do something a little bit lighter. Okay? Tomorrow will be lighter. We'll do Alex Jones tonight, too. We can bleed over. All right, let's just do this. So we had these protesters that more protesters that went and disrupted traffic on the George Washington Bridge. Okay? So there's about 10 illegal immigrants that were strung themselves across the upper level of the GW, and they're holding up this sign and whatever. News 12 just reported on it over here in Westchester, and they said homeless protest on GW, the homeless. Protesters chained themselves together on George Washington Bridge, disrupting traffic during the height of morning rush hour Wednesday. Protesters with an immigrant rights group held up a banner reading, first of all, they're not immigrants. Immigrants are those who are online right now that are taking the naturalization tests. They are going through the proper processes that have been set up by law. They care about becoming an American. They care about acknowledging the history and the opportunities that are brought here. These are people who know what they're getting away from. These are people who want to officially be a part of this game because it is better than where they are coming from. These are not immigrants that rush the borders and invade. That's an invasion. Okay? Immigration without assimilation is invasion. And there's no assimilation going on. And of course, if there wasn't a welfare state, then it'd be fine. But because you'll find that just those who can handle the American way of life would be here. Well, what used to be the American way of life? So it is just a matter of that. They are not immigrants. Sorry, they're not. They're illegal aliens. And they are holding up a banner that said, resist, organized, and rise up. Resist, organized, and rise up. Now, thankfully, Thankfully, New Yorkers. Thankfully, New Yorkers are. This little Indian over here. You see the mentally ill? See, thankfully, New York still has balls. There's some balls left in New York, thankfully. And here's another thing. You know, there's one more thing on this I wanted to say that I really want to make known. Every time I hear shit like this, it needs to be said. Here we go. At the 55-second mark of this video. Where the hell is it? Where is it? Download failed. Great. 55-second mark of the video where they're interviewing one of the people. Where the hell is it? Maybe he's at the bottom over here. They're interviewing one of the guys that's over there, and he's talking about how we want voting rights and this and that. We want vote. You know, we are being taxed, and we are contributing or working. We're being taxed, and we want voting rights. They want to be made citizens, given voting rights now. That's it. We're here. That's it. And he goes and he says that this line that I cannot stand. And he says, we are, you know, we want to come out of the shadows. And I'm saying, you want to see how in the shadows people are who are not here legally. Just go to any of the ethnic parade days down in New York City. Go to Washington, D.C., where there's a demonstration every day, no matter how small, on the steps of the Capitol building. During 2013's government shutdown, when veterans couldn't go see their war memorials, and when people couldn't even drive by, Mount Rushmore, and 17% of the government's employees were sent home. Still, guess who was allowed to protest and demonstrate outside in Washington, D.C.? Immigration rights groups. Whole band of illegal immigrants that just wanted to come out of the shadows. They want to be allowed out of the shadows. And they're asking for this while they're protesting and marching in down main vessels of this country. In capital cities, in the greatest metropolises. That is what they're saying. Take us out of the shadows. These people act like they are the Jews who had to go live in forests and sewers. Anne Frank, who had to keep her mouth shut living in an attic for years. Being sought out, ripped out of homes. Living in the shadows. Don't offend people who live in shadows or who have. And who actually never survived those shadows in many cases. Ridiculous to say shit like that. Live in the shadows when you know goddamn well you are a protected class because you are of political value. If you were in the shadows, it's because somebody actually gives a damn about the law. And nobody gives a damn about the law in the country, so how can you possibly be in the shadows? I should say, nobody gives a damn about the law in this country, and that's why you're able to be in front of television cameras talking about how you're in the shadows. Forget about going to a parade and maybe putting a bandana around your face so nobody wants to check your ID. You're in front of television cameras. You just blocked off the GW bridge. You're in the shadows? What shadow is that? Fuck this. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. If people believe this bullshit, if they really take this shit hook, line, and sinker, that is unbelievable. This has nothing to do with race. This has nothing to do with ethnicity. It has everything to do with culture, though. Our culture is rotted. Oh, God. All right, I got that out of my system. This means that tomorrow I'm going to be a lot better. So let me get rid of that. Immigration, Berkeley protests, go to hell. Queen IC wants, can't wait until white people fall. Michael Moore jerks us all off. Protesters close the upper level. We did that. Go to hell. Man who destroyed Trump Hollywood Walk of Fame star is actually a rich left-wing nut job who auctioned Gandhi's glasses off for I don't know how much and made a lot of Indians very, very upset. So there you go. More left-wing activism. But of course, people will say, good, good, good. They smashed Donald. Good. This because why? Because some freedom of expression, something or other, and we fight for what is right stuff. What are we talking about here? Freedom of expression, fight for what is right stuff. Is that the motto for doing heinous things? Kelly Zat says, in the shadows, I know a couple of Home Depots where you can just round them up. And Brian says, I like your style, Kelly. Kelly says, transplanted New Yorker here. We're all this way, mostly. Shout out to Kelly. First time I've seen Kelly in the chat. Good to see Mary Hart and iLock and everybody. But, guys, by all means, I do see you. Sometimes I can't slip in it. Sometimes I can't slip it into you. Watch out. Watch out. But keep talking. I'm glad that the community is building in the chat right now. All right. So let's do one other thing here. Anything on your mind, Matt? Anything on your mind, anybody?
No, nothing's on my mind.
Okay. So Morning Joe panel. Okay, MSNBC pretty much comes out and says, everything conservatives said about Obamacare has come true. Oh, my God. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody comes out and goes, yeah, well, it's true because it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, yeah, it's true, you know, because they just kept saying it and saying it, and everybody just lost confidence in it. Obamacare was only going to be successful if everybody believed in it. Like it was, you know, Elf, where Santa's sleigh is charged by Christmas cheer? That's pretty much Obamacare. If you believe in it, it'll do well. That'll be the next thing. That's the reason why it didn't work, because there wasn't enough Obamacare cheer around enrollment time. Oh, God. During a Tuesday morning discussion on Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump's standing in the national and swing state polls, the show's panel agreed that if billionaire businessman began to talk about the failures of Obamacare, he could begin to turn the numbers around. He does have an issue. He does have an issue to use if he's smart, co-host Willie Geist says, which is this Obamacare story about premiums going up 25%. 25%, guys. That is true. 22% in other plans and choices are shrinking. All things predicted by conservatives. Scarborough then confirmed everything conservatives predicted about Obamacare is coming true. And it's not because of any other reason than it was not supposed to work. And you were lied to for a reason. You weren't lied to so that this can be implemented and that we can all be shocked by just how well it worked. You were lied to so it could be implemented so that it would fail, so that the next big thing is ushered in, which will be ushered in under Hillary Clinton, or at least proposed under Hillary Clinton. I just don't believe it, though. I don't believe that this is going to happen. If Hillary Clinton wins the election, she's not going to have the House or Congress. I don't understand how we can ever say that she is going to have any kind of success in Congress. In 2018? How the hell is she going to not be just taken over? Because it's going to have to happen from the states at that point. Oh, who knows? This is all conjecture and bullshit. Forget I even said anything about that. So, off with that. Now let's go to Alex Jones. I gotta chill out now, okay? Okay, now everybody remembers about Picklegate. He's talking about, you know, when Hillary Clinton went on Kimmel or something like that, where she went to go and to take the pickle jar off to prove that she wasn't dying. Well, it was pointed out, and it was a valid point, that the pickle jar had been loosened. There was no pop. But Alex Jones, of course, in InfoWars, they did a story on it, and they really wanted to expose that she really couldn't. Listen, it's ridiculous because it's ridiculous because nobody would put any candidate up there to open up a pickle jar on television. I know that those late night shows are filmed at 5 p.m. at night, but you wouldn't be able to edit out the entire thing. You would have to leave it in there. Plus, there would be too many people in the viewing audience who would go out and have seen it themselves. And it would definitely get out that the whole bit didn't make it to Final Cut because, you know, and why didn't it make it to Final Cut? Oh, she couldn't open up the pickle jar. And that looks really bad. And then it just feeds into the conspiracy theories that she's a sick, weak woman even more. So you know that they had to doctor up this jar, but it's not a conspiracy because it goes for the same reason why singers don't sing live at Super Bowls anymore. Everything is so doctored up and everything is so controlled and the production value has to be made immaculate to the point where you can't have anything go by chance the opposite way. You have to account for every scenario if you can. So she definitely had a loosened jar opened up on a stage, and oh wow, that discredit, what was that? That was before she flopped like a fish on 9/11 and she passed out in front of Chelsea's apartment. What do you want to say? It didn't prove or disprove anything. It was just television. But Alex Jones, of course, went and dedicated too much time to it, and somebody went and re-edited Alex Jones's bit on it. It's just hilarious. Watch this.
That's not how you open a can of pickles. There's no pop when she opens it. Pop. You pop them open. You pop them open. You pop them, pop, 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 pop them. You don't turn them like it's peanut butter or jelly or something.
Well, jelly pops too.
Can we zoom in on this? You have to pop it, ladies and gentlemen. You have to pop it. Pop. It's popped. It's vacuum sealed. It's vacuum sealed. Pop, pop. You open it by pressuring down and popping. Look at that. I can't even really get it open. My hands are wet. Good God. I can't even open this. This is real. This is really happening. Can't even open this. Look at the sweat there. I couldn't open it.
Oh my God. It's just, I love it so much. He is a gift to the world. Whether you acknowledge him or not, he is a gift to all of us.
I couldn't open it.
Okay.
Does that mean he's going to die?
I couldn't open it. Black ops everywhere. My God. He is sweating. Mike Delabate points it out. Mary Hart says, Alex was offered all kinds of deals from all major networks, refused, so I respect him for that. Listen, I respect him for a lot of things. He has created one hell of a network. I would love to do some work with InfoWars one day. I'll tell you one thing. InfoWars opened me up to everything. The breadth of my political awareness. And I'll tell you what it was. It was almost 10 years, going on like 8 years ago or something like that. It was around 9/11, probably 2000. 9 or 10, something like that, around there. So I don't know. Do the math. And I started watching all the 9/11 truth stuff again. Loose Change, Alex Jones' reporting, interviews he was doing. It got me – that's where I found Alex Jones for the first time. And I started listening to his podcast. I was actually a $5 a month InfoWars subscriber for like a couple of months back in those years. And then I just stopped watching him because I moved away from just getting all of my news from InfoWars to other places. And then I just started reading history, and I just started reading the Constitution and all that stuff. And I just started dabbling around. I always kept track of mainstream news to pit it up against what the conspiracy theorists were saying and trying to find a happy medium and what's actually consistent. I don't know. But he started it all for me. I really respect what he's built. I cringe at his behavior a lot of the times because I think it does a lot of people who talk about things that we do a little bit more, I don't know, keeps us clamoring for credibility when people try to lump you in with them. But that's the other thing. In either case, I love him. Great, great conversations he's put on. He's made great movies. He's had fantastic interviews with great guests. I've been able to overhear some great conversation on his shows. And, of course, very dramatic. And that's how you have to package it and sell it. And it just makes it entertaining. So you just got to be a little bit weary about how far you follow somebody. Let's see here. What's the last thing I have to say here? Justin Trudeau. Okay, we'll do that because that'll be funny. Anything that we can end on a funny note. And then we're going to end with Red Skelton tonight. Don't mess with Justin Trudeau. Let me put on some music. I want to put on some good-ass music. We actually did a couple of segments tonight with no music. I'm sure you noticed it.
I did.
I don't like it too much, but it just has to happen. You know what? Let's give creepy piano music for Justin Trudeau. Okay? As Michael Savage calls him, the ballet dancer or the ballerina from Canada. Don't mess with Justin. Trudeau gets hands-on with an angry man who began accosting him in the street and talks him down. Now, I don't care anything about this. All I know is right here, I believe, in my opinion, allegedly, in my opinion, Justin Trudeau is offering the man a blowjob, and the man is considering his offer. He's actually taken aback. He's going,
But that's not his hand, though, that's on his, like, chest.
Oh, it's not?
No, it's that dude in the blue jacket.
Oh, there you go.
And
saying, listen, friend, let me please you with my mouth. And he's going, You would do that for me? And then, let's see if there's another picture here. We can continue this. This is where Justin Trudeau ups the ante. This is where he ups the ante and assures the man who's angry that he will swallow. No, I promise you. He's going, no, I promise you. I promise you not a drop will get on that black shirt. And this is where his face, look, see, his face is kind of calmed down a little bit. He's going, okay. He's going, okay.
Well,
you strike a hard bargain, Trudeau. Oh, to hell with him. So let's see, what else we have here? He'll be like, oh, you know, Frank, you have no credibility when you start those. It makes you seem real low. It's true. It does.
No, it's not. People are pieces of shits. People want to hear them be called pieces of shits. And that guy's a piece of fucking shit.
You know what you just said, which actually is funny to me? Yeah, you said pieces of shits, which means that there is potential for one person or multiple people to be a collection of pieces of multiple logs of shit.
Yeah,
different
know.
Pieces of shit.
You know.
That is good. Let's see if we do one more thing here. YouTube's in the chat room says, yeah, great hair day for Justin. He does have a great hair day.
Yeah.
He does have a good head of hair. I will give him that. I, for one, shave my head. Because the good Lord Sheba and the gods of Mount Olympus have taken my hair from me.
All you gotta do is just rub your own semen on your head, bro.
Is that true?
I believe so.
Forget it. We're just gonna leave that one where it is. So we would go Justin Trudeau. He gets hands on inside the brain of a pedophile. We'll do that tomorrow. Glow Kids, we'll do that tomorrow. Strange messages coming from beyond the stars are probably from aliens, scientists say. We talked about that last night on Zidals in New York. tomorrow night. Jesus. I ran out of water. And I that was a bad crack. My voice is getting dry. You know, normal people have... Well, the second crack was me. I know it went, but the second one was me doing it on purpose. It was real Randy, wasn't it? Oh, let me see here. Moonlit Altar just says, Frank just hit puberty. Yo, Moonlit, you were supposed to start off the show tonight with a Skype call. Here we are at overtime. You still haven't called in. I don't know if we can do this now. But tomorrow we're going to talk about the Pentagon's Terminator conundrum. Okay, robots that could kill on their own. Okay.
Arnold Schwarzenegger fucking predicted that 20 years ago.
We're going to tell you.
30 years ago.
He was in a movie. He didn't predict it. That's Anthony. Anthony's in the room, and he just did an impression of Arnold Schwarzenegger that kind of sounded like Louis Armstrong as well.
And the guy from Star Wars that flies around.
Who?
The parts guy.
Chewbacca.
Oh,
Watto?
Yes.
You love a long time to fix it.
Sounds like every guinea who owns a garage.
Yeah, but you know what? It is more of a Grecian accent. Watto from Star Wars? More of a Grecian ass accent. But it's you know, fantastic. It's great. What else here? So we have the Pentagon. We'll talk about that Terminator tomorrow. Government workers shun... to hell with it. I don't even give a shit. All right, so we got through a lot of stuff. So I guess Matt's not calling in. So let me say my thank yous, everybody, and then we're going to leave you with something very, very nice. Now, I know we have a lot of anarcho-capitalist followers... and friends in our community and our viewers and subscribers. And please, everybody, give the show a thumbs up if you like it. If you can get to iTunes or SoundCloud, give it a subscribe, a rating, and some comments. That'd be great. On YouTube, suggest it to a friend. We're seeing some new subscribers come in every day, which is very, very encouraging. If we do 2 subscribers a day all throughout the year, that's about 700 people a year. That ain't bad. And eventually this snowball is going to be kicked downhill a little bit farther. So please help us share it with people if you like what you see and what you're engaged in right now. Aside from that, if you like what you see here, also please help me out. Help me out. Help out a guy in need. I am putting together 5 hours of show a week, 20, about 20 hours a month, and I would love to call you a boss of mine. So check out patreon.com/quitefrankly and see what we have going on there. On, what is it? The first is Monday. No, the first is Tuesday. That's when I start writing all the new letters for the 1776 Club. So if you get on there and you find something there you like, get in on that, man. I want to write you some letters. The rewards are awesome on the Patreon, so go there. And also, I want to thank all of my bosses right now. Michael Wells, Matt Smith, Nikki Solis, Andrew Dame, Lara Veris, Sean Collins, Walking Cocktail Man. I want to have a Sean Collins while I watch Game 2 of the Cubs and Indians after this broadcast. Christian Pepas of the Amatory Murder, check out his band, awesome New York rock band. Great new stuff coming out, too. New releases, all that. They're on YouTube. The Amatory Murder. Maxine Caparato from Colorado, our resident in-house astronomer. Rudy Escarcega, good friend of mine on Twitter. New friends of the community. Jackie Milam, Eric Reitz, another new guy. Good guy, new guy. Matt DiFabio, sitting across me, the one who started the 1984 Club, along with Brad Meyer, who's about to get his first letter. And if you subscribe to the 1984 Club, you might get a letter from Matt some months. Okay? So I'm going to tell that. It's going to be a good letter. Matt's going to write you a love letter. Dude, if you want the 1984 Club, I say it's for the people who are a little bit more dark at heart. Okay, so if you go to 1984 Club, you have to understand that you may not get something appropriate sent to you.
You may not understand half the words he said.
Yes, some of the vocabulary will be misused. He's going to bring back old world type of stuff. I'm telling you. So just think about that. Thank you, Mary Hart. I see Mary Hart said she's going to spread the word. And also, Stephanie K. Beauty, our good friend Stephanie. Check her out, stephaniekbeauty.com. She is a beautician of titanic proportions, okay? She can take your face and she can twist it until you look like a Rorschach test. Or she can take your face and she can turn you into a porcelain doll. She's amazing. Check her out on Instagram too, Stephanie K. Beauty. That's Stephanie with a P-H-I-E-K-A-Y, Beauty. And the good bad girl, Jenny Lee, in the chat room with the fluorescent pink hair, who can chop wood like the best of them, like the rest of them. Rumble and Roar said the 1984 Club is tempting. Uh-oh, Matt. If you get to, you better behave yourself, you get to write a letter to Rumble and Roar. You better behave yourself.
I'm not sure whom that is.
You know Rumble and Roar. She called into the show before.
Oh, yeah. She's a...
the brunette.
Raven hair beauty.
I believe it. Raven hair beauty. Okay. 1776. We'll see. And, of course, Jenny Lee. So, and there you go. And like I said, and you can check out the reasoning for the Patreon. What we want to do with the show, where we want to take it. Yes, I would love for this to be my day job, among other things. You know, I feel first and foremost I'm a musician, also a writer, and this is it. Our key aim, our key focus in our old studio. On our marker board up top, we always had our chief aim up there, and that was to influence millions through music, speech, and writing. That's just it. We're commentators. We see the world, we examine what we feel in our relation to our surroundings, and we put forth the best articulation that we have to put forth, and whether that be in writing and music or, you know, carrying on a conversation or any combination of the three. That's just it. And that's so... There's no dancing around that. That is definitely a personal plea of mine and a personal hope of mine. It's why I put so much time into it. Because if that could be the stress-free guarantee in life that this is actually what we do, unbelievable. Number two is that the more that comes into this show through the Patreon and other things, the more I want to give away, including with, you know, bringing the show on the road, you know, meeting new people, expanding it in every way, and just, I don't know, making this like a country club for conversation. That'd be great. All right, guys. So that all being said, what did I want to do? One last thing. Oh, Red Skelton. So for our anarcho-capitalist friends, I want to let you, I know that you're not about pledges of allegiance and you're not about, you're not about a lot of borders and all that stuff. But I know that you still have patriotic bones in your body, and I know that you get tickled pink by some red, white, and blue stuff. We know that even of our good friend and Anarchy in Black, who is as staunch an anarchist as anybody. But he still loves the American story. He'll admit it. He's admitted it on this show. In either case, I do love this country and its history. And I think that this is a very, very somber, beautiful way to look at the Pledge of Allegiance through a lens that you're not going to see anymore. And that is widely lost to all ways of thinking when you look at the educational system and what society is looking like on the ground right now. But still, coming from a very benevolent, kind place, but you can tell a reverent place. And for some reason, this type of approach and this type of language is no longer acceptable anymore. And I don't understand why. It just feels right. But in either case, I leave you with that, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Here is Red Skelton talking about the Pledge of Allegiance. See you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the 7th grade. I went to the 7th grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And I used to, this is true. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. It was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell. He says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester. And it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may... May I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose, all divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. one nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life, without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance. Under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer and that would be eliminated from schools too?